I am thankful to the Lord for the privilege that we have here today to be at His table. And God is up to something bigger and mightier than you have ever dreamed or imagined. These are the last days, and we need to understand that we're living in the last days. I have put out for you, and I think I did it last Sunday too. No, I just got it this week. I have to probably make some more. We are living in some of the most devastating times of all creation, really. When there's governments around the world that are not honoring God's kingdom. And I want to share with you today on the importance of community. In true community, there is true unity, godly unity. And I would like you to turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, if you would, please. Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. As we are endeavoring, as we've been starting out this new year, of understanding what Jesus meant that in John 17, that He said that they all may be one, that the world might know that Thou hast sent me. Our unity, our working together, our cooperating and making the best of the challenging opportunities we have every day of our life to live out the life of Jesus. Amen? So, God is telling us we need to go back to our foundation. And here in Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, well, God is speaking to the children of Israel as they are planning to go into the promised land. The land that God said was theirs. He had a plan and He had a purpose that the church in the wilderness, which we like to call it, was the children of Israel. God had an order for the church in the wilderness, His people, to be governed by. And He specifically shared with them as they're going into this promised land, and you see in chapter 11 here, He starts off, love the Lord your God and keep His commandments and His decrees and His laws and His commandments always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, His majesty, His mighty hand, His outstretched arms, the signs He performed, and the things He did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to the whole country. What He did to the Egyptian army, and the horses and the chariots, and how He overwhelmed them with the waters in the Red Sea, and as they were pursuing you, how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It is not your children. It was not your children. Everybody say children. Your children who saw what He did for you in the desert until you arrived at this place. And what He did. And then He goes on. So God was helping them to understand it's a whole new generation that is going into the promised land. They all died off, the Bible tells us. He raised up a new generation of people going into the promised land. Very interesting. And then he is instructing these folks to make sure that they follow the precepts and the commandments of the Lord. You go down to verse 8. I like verse 7. But it was your own eyes that saw all these things that the Lord has done. Amazing. Verse 8. Observe therefore all the commandments I am giving you today so that you may have the strength. Very interesting. Did you know by observing the commandments of the Lord, it gives strength to you? I love that. And gives strength to you to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. I like what God is saying here. He was a God of faith. He was speaking faith to them. You're going over to this land and possess it. So let me submit to you today, we have a God that believes in us. He believed in the children of Israel. According to that. Crossing the Jordan, and so that you may live long. Well, obeying the Lord helps you to live long. Amazing. In the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give it to them and their descendants. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land you are entering to take over. It's not the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated by the foot, as in the vegetable garden. But the land, look at verse number 11 here of the 11th chapter. Look at this, if you would, please. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys. So there's mountains. You're going to have to cross mountains and valleys. Very interesting. That drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to the end. Folks, by obeying God's word, they wouldn't have to do what they did in pumping the water, you know, pump. Oh, they had to do so much, you know, in Egypt, you know. But there's a land that is going to be flowing with water from heaven. Let me submit to you, I believe with all my heart, when you go 100% for the Lord, it's going to go a lot easier. Now, that doesn't mean we will have a rosy bed of ease because we go into the promised land. There's so much in this teaching here this morning. You know, they had giants there. They had to get out of the land. The Ites and the Ing, all the kinds of nations that were there. They was the promised land, though, but that's in the south. So if you faithfully obey the commandment I am giving to you today to love. Okay, the first thing is to love the Lord your God. Oh, I like that. Faithfully, to love the Lord your God. The question that the Holy Spirit is given to my heart, do I really love the Lord my God? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Wow. We are living in a time, my dear brothers and sisters, that this world is falling apart. I started to say back there, I have a paper of how our nation has allowed, is requiring people who feel that they are both boy and girl can go to a boy can go to a girl's bathroom. That's allowed in America today. It's allowed now to, when a baby even is out of the womb. Hey, it's in the news. You see it. I have an article back there that I want you to read, that because of what happened, what the New York government did, the governor did, our governor is trying to get Pennsylvania to go there too. Come on, folks. We need a rise in the land and take back the things that Satan has stolen from us. And we need to be a voice. And how are we going to be a voice? By obeying God. Can I submit to you that I believe the condition of America is a picture of the condition of the Church of Jesus Christ? I'm speaking that prophetically. When we, as God's people, take a stand to truly love God, not only just speak it, be not only hearers of the word, the Bible tells us, we need a what? Do it. Be it. But look here. He said, if you do this, if you love me, you obey my, then I will send rain on your land and in its seasons, both autumn and spring rains, and so that you may gather your grains, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful. Be careful that you're not enticed to turn away and worship other gods. Then the Lord's anger will be against you, and he will shut up the heavens. He goes on and tells us there. But fix these words in your mind and in your heart. He goes on in verse 18. Fix them in your mind and in your heart. Do you do it? Are you fixing them? Are you fixing him? I have a mandate from God to walk according to his standard, to be an example. Lay up these words in your heart and in your soul. Did we do it? I need to make a confession of my heart, as in this last year in particular, as the Lord has been radically speaking to my heart. What this world needs is true men and women that are sold out 100% to the causes of Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to turn things around. I am not speaking against television per se, but I am speaking against the decision you and I have every day to decide to listen to the right things or the wrong things. See, the right things or the wrong things. God gave each one of us a will. For me, I'm confessing here to you, sharing my heart with you, because you're in my heart. You can't get out of my heart, because I'm your pastor. And the pastor looks and feels for his sheep. And so I thank God. You know, I'm praying for you every day. I ask you to pray the Lord's Prayer. I want to ask you, you don't have to give me an answer to this, but how many of you are still praying that Lord's Prayer over yourself, over your family, over the nation, over the church. Pray for one another. You know, I wonder if just us here today would simply do what God's Word tells us to do for one another. Pray one for another. See, you know, we come to that kind of relationship when we, when you don't see someone, what do? Well, sure, start praying for them and then call them up. Hey, we're going to have to do this all together. How many can say amen? You know, we're going to have to do it all together. My heart it's concerned. We have new ones showing up. And I shared a little bit about that yesterday there concerning reaching last Sunday, concerning reaching out to people. As a pastor, I have a responsibility to care for you all and look out after you. Monday here, we thought Sister Jeannie was in the hospital, and Monday night, I heard this, she's gone somewhere, and so I tried to text Larry, and Larry, clean up your thing. So Larry, your phone. I put a little message on there, and it said it's full, you know, and all that. So clean them up so you get messages. And so I was calling around Monday night, Tuesday morning. I called the hospital where I thought, and lo and behold, I finally got a hold of her son, David, and he said, I don't know, I have to find out where mama's at. And so he found out where he was at. Then I got a text from him. Oh, she's down bowling at the bowling alley. I said, oh my God. Thank you, Tom, for going there with me. Tom started the process going there. But we want to care for one another. I'm not going to say amen. We do. We want to care. We want to reach out. And so my main concern is as we are, because to be the people of God, then we need to be the body that God has for one another and to be a caring church. And so this is what you need to. And he goes on and there's so much here. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you send them home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them upon the door frames of your house and in your gates, so that the days of the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as many as the days of heaven upon the earth. I want heaven on earth. How many can say amen? That's what's going to happen, folks, when we do all of that. I shared with you last week here about the church becoming a redemptive healing community. This book is falling apart. I got it out of the archives of my file. And the ministry of the church, he goes on to tell us here, in the midst of a confused world, must bring hope of harmony out of the despair of disharmony. Right? That's what we're here for. The object of Jesus' entire life and ministry, death and resurrection, was to demonstrate God's love for humanity in overcoming the separation between persons and between God and human beings. Illness is a sign that there has been separation. Interesting. Do you know something? The medically science has proven that those people who commit themselves to a strong community of people are more healthier than those who separate themselves from it. Now think about that. So, you know, there's a lot of times people come and say, well, I don't feel good. And I realize we need to be cautious about carrying any sickness into the home. But let me submit to you, Daddy, we found a testimony of Dad and Mother. We moved here into this church in July of 1977. August, we found a cassette. And I don't know, Irene, you were cleaning up things, how it came about there. And I listened to it. And for an hour and a half in August 77, God had Dad and Mother share their story. Oh, amazing miracles and God working in supernatural ways. And we heard singing back then, and we were trying to pick out who's playing what on that. I'm going to make that make a CD for you to listen to that, you know. This place was probably packed, you know, with hungry hearts, you know, and God's presence just came upon that. And Daddy just believed that everywhere we go, miracles happened. And that just resurrected me. And I say, we're going to go there in Jesus' name. A community of true believers. Now, this brother goes on and talks about understanding our relationship. And next month, we're going to be going into, I've been talking to different ones, we're going to have home, and we're going to be calling them, and I love this, real-life support groups. Because all of us are in real life. It's different than it ever has been. And where we get together twice a month, and we're ever encouraging loving people out in the community, you know, too. Said, in a loving community, people can often get in touch with their deepest and most authentic selves. Which, it's amazing what I am discovering when I just take time. Remember, I said the greatest gift you can give to anybody is the gift of just listening. You ask questions, then you listened. And I tell you what, in our family, with Irene, my wife, and two, I see when someone starts talking, I right away want to say, well, let me finish talking. Yeah, we're rude. We're rude. We are. And then we don't hear each other's heart. Are we getting it? There we go. So, I tell you what. I am just want to go deeper with, after 50 years with my wife, with my children, with others, with my sister. And we're helping one another. So, please, as you learn to communicate better, just say, can I share my heart with you? No one, I said last week, likes you to tell them what to do. Just simply say, I like to share my heart. And then they'll say yes or no. And then when you're communicating with someone and they butt in, just stop and listen to them. That's heart. That's heart. Instead of, see, this is what my sister taught me. Thank you, Irene. When someone does that to you, just listen to them. See, you were talking. Okay, get this dynamic. The dynamics of communication. You were talking, and someone butts in. Now, wait a minute. I'm not finished talking. And Irene said, and I would tell them, now, be quiet. No, just listen. Irene, thank you for that advice. This is practical way. This is gospel. Folks, this is what Jesus did. He really did. Now, The church cannot be a place where lonely people remain lonely in just a monologue of prayer by themselves. But a place where they can become involved in the development of deep relationships that are both healing and rewarding. Very important. This brother summarizes this. I shared it last week and the Holy Spirit said, just talk on it a little more. He's a community. We are the body of Christ. We are a community of believers. Is a gift of the Spirit which can express itself in many and very different ways. Gift of the Spirit. He's the one that brings unity. You can. Man tries. We have been trying. The world is trying. I know Pope is doing that right now. He's trying to bring the world together. I don't know if you saw the news. Someone told me about it. I didn't hear about it. But he's trying to get the nations of the world to get along with one another. How many know it won't happen? Different ways. In silence as well as in words. It can be quiet, okay? In listening as well as speaking in different ways, it expresses itself in the Spirit. Thank God for sound systems. 1, 2, 3. All right, let's try it again. In speaking, that's what. Praise the Lord. That sounds a little better. In living together as well as in solitary life. Do you know, when you really understand your relationship, some people are just, they don't like to be with people. But the Spirit of God says, hey, let me suggest to you, that's the only way you were born, is because two people came together. You're a product of communication. Community itself is foremost a quality of the heart. There it is. Our heart. We were talking about Christian counseling with one of the teams, parents of the CHESS group. They went out to biblical counseling. And she was telling me that in our society today, how we counsel one another is completely different than any time in history. And she said, and thank God for this biblical counsel, she said, the main thing they were teaching us, you first zero in on the heart of someone and get that heart reunited with God, then you'll see a change. That's biblical counseling, folks. Very, very important. Community itself is foremost a quality of the heart which enables us to unmask, and here it is. Sorry to say it, most of us wear a mask. We want to make sure that everybody thinks we are cheesy, clean, and nice and perfect. We want to make sure that everybody sees us as the perfect person. They mask the illusions of our competitive society and recognize each other's as true brothers and sisters in Christ and sons and daughters of the same Father. Oh, I tell you what. I'm so thankful that we all have the same Father. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. And when we begin to understand everyone that we meet in our relationships as our brother and our sister, and then we'll honor them accordingly in that way, we will see transformation come. Why? Because it's only because of the one Father God who is over all and in all and through you all. Hallelujah! We're all one. As the quality of the heart, community is not bound to any, and here it is, Brother Ben, we were talking about this here, any form, any particular institutional form, but is free to create new forms of living wherever it manifests itself. Look at this. I'm having one of the greatest revelations when the Bible tells us when two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. So we are the people of his name. We carry the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I pray in Jesus' name, starting here right now, that each one of us will go away from this place with that picture in mind. That everywhere you go in your home, you're together, husband and wife, children. We're gathered together in his name. We carry his name. We are the people that celebrates who he is in the world today. And I guarantee you upon the authority of God's word, when you put that awareness, I think I told you last week, that mom would always put it, because the children were always messed up, you know, and doing things. And at the table, we would be picking on each other. And you know what? I heard someone say that I was the worst too. Mama said that to me. I said, oh my God. And so thank God he changed me. Hallelujah. He's changing, you know. Put a table there. Jesus is the unseen guest at every meal. I wonder what would happen if every one of us here today would get that picture. He's right here with us. Jesus. Right here with us. He is. He's everywhere. And so as we go into Holy Communion, as the ushers get ready, we want to demonstrate our unity here this morning. We're one because of the blood of Jesus. So I was reading God's word. I'm listening to it. I listen to it more than the radio. I listen to the radio now and then. I like to get a little news. But you know something? I am not so concerned about the news anymore because all it does is stir me up the wrong way. Oh, if those people would do things better and that party or that, you know, come on, you know. It's just stirring you up. And it's amazing. I walked into the, and I'm always looking everywhere I go and into the country medicine here, and there were a whole table of eight. They all, most of them have white hair, you know, and I just start sharing, and then the one guy said, he got right into what's happening, you know, in government and all. And he said, well, I hope you are. Yeah, I am. Well, if you weren't, you're out of here. You know? Oh, my God. But I have fun laying truth, you know, wherever I go. But I came across this scripture here, and it's very interesting, to say the least here, concerning the attitude of the heart here. In chapter 10, as God is laying out what they should do, as we want to bring this to a close this morning, is in verse 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord thy God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commandments and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. All right? To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations of the as of today. Circumcise your hearts. Now, this is incredible how God is saying to the Old Testament believers that did not already have Jesus. But he said, circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked and any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, a mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless. Oh, look at that. And the widow. You that are widowed, he defends you. And loves the alien. Oh, giving him food and clothes. And you are to love those who are aliens. For you yourself were aliens in Egypt. And fear the Lord your God and serve him. This Holy Communion is circumcision of the heart. Pastor, what do you mean by that? We want to make a declaration here today that we're cutting off. Circumcision, male, is so cleanliness, for clean. Circumcision. Cutting the foreskin. Cleanliness. Circumcise our hearts. The blood of Jesus Christ, what cleanses us from all ungodliness. And I want us, as the ushers come, to give you Holy Communion today. We want to ask the Lord to circumcise our hearts here today. And say, Holy Spirit of God, will you clean me up all right? We bless the elements, Lord God, and may it be according to what you direct in Jesus' name. Prophetically, let me speak to you. Every time God makes something real to our hearts, he gives us opportunity to walk it out. Okay? One of the greatest problem we have is in our minds. That's why our minds need to be sanctified daily. And I have learned and am learning that the most talk we do is to ourselves. And the problem a lot of times, we talk wrong talk. We talk fear. What are they going to do? How are they going to act? What's going to go on? You know. Oh, you know. And we need to learn to put the Word of God. A brother, help me to understand this as precious brother, the Lord, dear friends of ours. His dad was a cutting-edge dad like Dad was here. And he always would seem to be calm and collect when the pressures were on, the challenges were there. And so the question came to him, sir, what makes you so calm when everything around you is a storm? He said, I look down inside of me and I see if Jesus is all frustrated. But he's not. He's calm. I love that picture. I want to leave that with you. Well, who's inside of you? Is it Bill? Or is it Jesus? I like that, Bill. Amen. So may you have that picture as you leave this place and walk in his peace, walk in his love. Thank you.